We'll go with the ninth chapter today. Oh, we'll keep the windows open unless it's too hot in here. Is that a real moment? Ninth chapter is very similar to the seventh chapter. And at the end of the seventh chapter, Krishna is recommended to man. If one engages in devotional service, then everything else, all the results of all other types of Vedic activities are also obtained. But at the same time, one becomes eligible to go back to the spiritual world. Now, in the ninth chapter, it's called the most confidential knowledge, because in the seventh and eighth chapters, Krishna has talked about devotional service, but he's also talked about mixed devotional service, desiring to go to the heavenly planets, or at least in the seventh chapter, Krishna has not only explained about mixed devotional service, but he's also explained about the desire to go to the heavenly planets, to merge in Brahman, to obtain liberation from old age, disease, and death. So now in this ninth chapter, Krishna will explain about pure devotional service, what is called the most confidential topic. So Krishna begins by glorifying pure devotional service. He says, Sri Bhagavan Vacha Idam Bhute Guyatmam Pravaksham Anusuyave Jnana Vijnana Sayitam Yajgatva Moksha Seishubat. Because you were never envious of me, Arjuna. Now I explain to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, by knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. And then Krishna further glorifies devotional service. He says, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pravakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives one direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and is joyfully performed. But, Krishna says, although devotional service is the best path, not everyone will take to it in the same way. So he says, Ashradadana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. That those who are not faithful in this path of devotional service cannot obtain me, and therefore they come back to birth and death in this material world. There are different types of persons who are at different levels of devotion. There is Kanisa Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. And there are different results will be there. Those who are Kanishtha Adhikaris, out of faith they follow, but they don't very scientifically understand the process of devotional service. Therefore, their faith is not, sometimes it goes up, and sometimes it comes down. But the Madhyama Adhikari, he has more or less a good understanding of what devotional service is, but he hasn't fully understood it. But he's more or less firmly fixed in devotional service. And the Uttama Adhikari, he has understood everything perfectly, and therefore he can explain it clearly what the process of devotional service is. And now Krishna will explain something about himself, because devotional service means devotional service to Krishna. And in order to serve Krishna, you have to like him. Hard to serve Krishna devotionally if you think that he may not be such a nice person. Or as Srila Prabhupada once said, one of the problems, as I mentioned previously, Prabhupada had told his servant that one of the problems of the Hare Krishna movement is that the devotees don't believe in Krishna. And even if we do believe in Krishna, we may not think he's very nice. And why don't we think he's nice? Because, generally speaking, everyone in the material world is suffering. And most people who suffer, they blame someone else on their suffering, and ultimately they put the blame on God. As that one rabbi, he wrote a book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Everyone thinks they're a good person. And everyone's wondering why bad things are happening to them. His reasoning, as I explained before, was that actually God is a nice person, but because he's the oldest person, he's become old and senile. And therefore, although he's trying to keep things together the best he can, he's kind of lost it, so to speak. And he can't really figure out the way things should run. He gets confused and he does the wrong thing sometimes. So that's why bad things sometimes happen to good people. So although the old guy's trying, you have to just be patient with him. And maybe he'll train up his assistant and in the future things will go on better. But this is not the Vedic literature's description of God. God is Navayovanam Cha. Although he's the oldest, Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyam Paranam Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Duralavam Adurlavam Atmabhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. The God, although he's the oldest, Advaitam Achutam Anadim. He's Anadim, he's the first person, therefore he must be very old. Anadim Anantarupa Adyam Paranam, although he's the oldest, Paranam, Navayovanam Cha, he's the youngest. He's always the fresh youth. So here Krishna will explain something about how the material world goes on and how one should not blame Krishna for the good and bad things that happen in the material world. How he's actually detached from the material world, although everything goes on under his direction, but he's sitting there neutrally, just like a judge. A judge, although he may condemn someone to death or may he award someone else a huge amount of money, he can't be blamed for his activities. He's neutral. It's on the basis of people's own activities, their own actions, that the judge is awarding them or punishing them. So God has created the material world because of the desires of the living entities, and he awards them and punishes them according to their activities, not according to his own personal preferences. So Krishna will explain this. Maya tatami dam sarvam jagat adhyakta moratina matstani sarabhutani na chaham te shavastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. So Krishna is present everywhere by his energies, but we can't see him. Although we know as a super soul, Krishna is everywhere, but we don't see him. So in that way, he's unmanifested to us at least. And then he says, Nachamakstani Bhutani Paishame Yogamaisharam Bhutavrinacha Bhutasto Mahatma Bhutta Bhavanaha. Yet everything that's created does not rest in me. Behold my Mr. Godliness, although I'm the maintainer of all living entities, and although I'm everywhere, I'm not part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. So though Krishna is everywhere and pervades everything, still he's completely detached from the material world. He's not at all affected by what goes on, although he controls everything. So this is Yogam Aishvara. Inconceivable how God can be controlling everything down to the minutest atom up to universes and be completely detached. Just like if we own a pencil and we lose it, then we become very disturbed. All day long we look for it. That shows that we're not detached. But God, he owns universes, and he's not at all disturbed. Even if he lost a universe or two, he wouldn't even look for it. It says that on the heads of Anantashesha, the universes are being held, and he's not even aware that they're there. So that's called detached. Of course, he doesn't, Anantashesha doesn't lose universes. It's not that one day Krishna wakes up and he says, where is that universe? I can't remember. That one with the four-headed Brahma, what happened to him? Oh well, what to do? You know, so many other universes. Gonna have to ask Lakshmi, maybe she put it somewhere. So now Krishna will explain. Yataka Shavasido Nityam Vayusara Turga Mahan Tatasarani Bhutani Matsani Tipadarya. Understand that there's a mighty wind blowing everywhere, always rests in ethereal space. So in the same way, all created beings rest in it. So the wind is always resting in space. So in this way, the wind doesn't affect space, although it can't go beyond the space. So in the same way, although Krishna is not at all affected by what goes on, still everything is going on within Krishna. But on the other hand, it's inconceivable, because the wind and the space are inert, so you wouldn't expect that the wind would have any interaction with the space. But on the other hand, generally if someone creates something and maintains something, and someone is dependent on someone, then there's some attachment, both on the part of the person who's depending on the person and the person who's maintaining the person. There's some attachment. But in this case, Krishna is inconceivably unaffected by what goes on in the material world. So now Krishna will say, not only he's created the material world, but again and again everything is coming and going. Sarva bhutani kundeya murtaya sambhavantiya tasa sarva bhutani kundeya prakriti nyanti mamikam kalpa shayek punastani kapa do vishijam yaham. Also, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature, and at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again. So, millennium after millennium, everything is being created, and then it's being dissolved, and Krishna's time and time again is going on. Prakatim swamavashtabhya visrijami punak punak bhutagramamimam krishnam avasham prakatim vashat Prakritir Vishat, the whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again. And under my will, it is annihilated at the end. So Krishna is not at all disturbed. It's not that, you know, Krishna annihilated the universe and he had, you know, a bad night. He can't sleep at night. You know, I didn't want to do it, but you know, I had to do it. You know, it's horrible watching all those living entities getting, you know, drowning in the ocean of devastation, but you know what to do. Maybe I'll have to reveal my mind to someone, they can give me some comfort. What I've been doing so often, you know, is I get a real kick out of dissolving the universe. No, Krishna is not at all attached or detached. He's completely neutral. Nichamam karmi, nichamam tani karmani, nibandhanti dhananjaya, udasinadvarasinam asatam teshu karmasu. O dhananjaya, all this work can bind me. I am ever detached, seated as though neutral. So this neutrality of Krishna is inconceivable, how Krishna is completely neutral in the material world. But on the basis of that, we can understand we can't blame Krishna for what happens. That if something good happens to us, it's because of Krishna's mercy. And if something bad, at least for the devotees, but in general for the ordinary living entity, if something good happens, it's because he's performed pious activities. And if something bad happens, it's because he's performed sinful activities. So good and bad reactions are dependent on the living entity's activities. They ultimately are not caused by Krishna. Now Krishna will summarize everything. He says, Maya Dakshana Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetu Narayana Kunteya Jagati Parivartate. That this entire cosmic manifestation is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings under its rule. This manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So Krishna has created the material world and has set all the rules and regulations up, but and it goes on by his energy and works under his direction, but he also follows all the rules and regulations. He supplies the energy and the direction, but he's neutral. That he senses the desire of the living entity, just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. When Krishna understands the desire of the living entity, then he orders the material energy to arrange itself in such a way as to fulfill the desires according to the living entity's deserve. So if the living entity both desires something and deserves it, then Krishna makes the arrangements so that he gets his reward in terms of different good and bad reactions. But still, although Krishna is so powerful that he's able to control the entire cosmic manifestation, he's in the heart of all living entities, which is quite inconceivable, directing all their activities. But when he comes, people think he's just, you know, an ordinary person. So Krishna says, Abhijananti mamudam anushintanam ashityam that the fools arrive at my descending in this human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all the big. So the person that we're supposed to follow and surrender to, people think is just ordinary. Matter of fact, as we can see, when Krishna was here 5,000 years ago, when he was a cowherd boy, every day so many demons would come and try and kill Krishna. And when he grew up, then a lot of demons came and tried to kill him. When he was at Dwarka and Mathura, Jarasandha came with Akshahinis to kill Krishna, Dantavakra, Shushupal, so many, then there was Kalyavana, so many, Kasiraj and was Pundarika, not Pundarika, Pundraka. So many demons came, tried to kill Krishna. Obviously, they didn't think he was a very important person. But Krishna says that if one thinks he's ordinary, then mogaisha mogha karmano mogha jnana vijayita saha rakshasim asarim chayva prakritim mohanim shitaha, then for those who are deluded by demoniac and atheistic views, in that deluded condition, their hopes of liberation, their fruit of activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. So the result of not understanding Krishna or not having faith in Krishna is that ultimately one won't get the fruit. The real result, which is full knowledge, real happiness, it goes on forever. One may get some temporary results in the material world, but because one has no faith in Krishna, the ultimate result of going back to Godhead will never be achieved. And then Krishna says, in contrast, those who do believe in him and have faith in his service, their result is explained. Mahatmanas tumam parada, daivim prakritim ashritya, vajanyananyam manaso gyatavudidim avyam. Those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Satyam kirtayantamam yatantas chadrida vritaha namasyantas chamam bhaktya nityukta upasate. Always engaged in chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So this is the job. This is the primary occupation of the devotees, is to glorify Krishna, to serve Krishna, and to show respect to Krishna. In this way, nityukta, they become connected with Krishna eternally. But there are others who are, again, Krishna will review. They'll explain others who have some connection with Krishna, but even differently than the ones he's described before. So he'll explain again something about Gyana Jagnana Chapyanye Yajanto Mama Pasite Ekatvena Pitakvena Bahuda Vishuto Mukam. So here is those who worship Krishna as the one without a second, diverse in many, and in the universal form. So one without a second, of course, means Ahangropasana, that they are God. They worship themselves as God. Bahuda means those who worship the demigods, and Vishvatamukha, those who worship the universal form. Now Krishna will explain something about those who worship him in the universal form. Of course, you can also worship Krishna in the universal form, but we don't worship the universal form. We worship everything as an expansion of Krishna's energy. But there are some who think that God has expanded himself as the universal form and he's disappeared. That everything is God. So Krishna will explain how such persons, they can also understand that these energies are part of Krishna rather than their God itself. So he says, Aham kraturaham jagna swaraham aham oshajam mantraham aham eva jam aham agniraham hutam. But as I in the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb and the transcendental chant, I am the butter, the fire, and the offering. Pitahamasya jagato matadata pitamaha Vedyam Pavitram Omkara Raksamyajra Evacha. I am the father of this universe, the mother of the support, the grandsire, and the object of knowledge, the purifier and the syllable Om. I am the Riks, the Sama, and the Ajra Vedas. Gatir Vajra Prabhu Shakshi Nivasa Sharanam Srit Prabhavas Pralayas Dhanam Nidanam Vidam Aviyam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the refuge, the man, the witness, the abode, the refuge, the most dear friend. I am the basis of everything, the rest, and the creation, the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place, and the eternal sea. Tapam yahamaham varsham, digrinam utsri jamisha, amritas chayam rityus cha, sarasach jaham arjuna. Arjuna, I control the heat, I give heat, and I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality, I am also death personified. Both spirit and matter are in me. Shaividimam samapa putapapa jagna ishva swargatim pratariyante te kunya sadhyasurandilokam ashnanti divyam divideva deva bhogam. Those who study the Vedas and drink the Soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. Purified as sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. So Krishna explains now that the demigod worshippers again. He seems to have a thing about demigod worshippers. But he explains that although they follow the Vedas and they get a chance to go to the heavenly planets and they enjoy godly delights, but the problem is, Teitam Bhutva Swargaloka Vishalam Shine Marti Shine Kunye Marti Loka Vishanti Evam Traya Dharam Anapurpanam Petagata Kama Kama Labhate. After they finish enjoying these heavenly sense pleasures, they return to this mortal planet again, and thus through the Vedic principles they enjoy only repeated birth and death. So there's no permanent refuge in going to the heavenly planets. One has to return again to these earthly planets and again work hard, you know, just to go to survive. And repeatedly taking birth and death again, when they go up or down throughout the whole universe, just like one goes up and down on a Ferris wheel. So Krishna doesn't recommend this. Instead, he recommends again, Ananyas Chintayantoma, Ye Dana Paripasate, Tesham Niti Vyuktanam, Yoga Shemam Bahamiham. For those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So the advantage of devotional service, always engaged in Krishna's service, ananya bhakti, and meditating on Krishna, is that everything will be provided by Krishna without any anxiety on the part of the living entity. And the living entity has to depend upon his own good or bad desires, good or bad efforts, then he's always in anxiety because he's very tiny. But when he depends upon Krishna, who is the source of everything, then he has no works, as they say in Australia, no works. He actually has no works. Because you know that whatever Krishna provides, that's exactly what he needs. And no one could be more intelligent than Krishna. Not that Krishna, he made a mistake. I put in an order for so much and he forgot. And he forgot the cheese. No, Krishna doesn't forget. He's not unaware of what we need. He knows exactly what we need. And the more one puts oneself into Krishna's hands, then the more Krishna takes charge, and everything is done very nicely by Krishna. So that's called faith. Now back to the demigods again. Those who don't really have faith in Krishna completely, they're relying on the demigods. So Krishna says, Ananyas, Yepyanya Devata Bhakta, Yajante Sharyanvita, Tepi Mame Vakunteya, Yajantya Vidipuravakam. That those who are devotees of other gods and worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in a wrong way. So everyone's going to have faith in someone. It's not that even if we have faith in only this body, but everyone has faith. So the question is, who we have faith in? And even if one has faith in the demigods, still, it's wrong. Because no one has any faith in the demigods nowadays. Right? And most people don't have faith in, they don't have faith in anything. That's why they're so unhappy. Because they have no faith. So you don't have any faith, what is there to look forward to? If no faith means that one has no idea what's going on or what will happen in the future. Therefore, it's not a very pleasant way of living.
Is faith similar to hope?
Well, on the basis, if you have no faith, you won't have any hope. If you have good faith, if you have faith, then certainly you'll have hope. But it's not exactly. Faith means what you're inspired to put your heart into. Shraddha. What your experience tells you is real. What you're willing to render real service to. So then Krishna says, Aham hi sarva jagnanam bhakta cha prabhur eva cha tatumam avijananti tadvena taschayanti te. For I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature, they fall down. So ultimately everything is being done by Krishna, and as he's transcendental, so anyone who serves him also becomes transcendental. But those who don't serve him, they fall down to material existence, some kind of material existence. Yanti deva vrata devam pitri yanti pitri vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyagni no bhimam. Therefore, whoever one worships in the material world, because that's our nature, we have to worship. So if we worship the demigods, then we'll become a demigod, if we do it according to the authorized way. Or if we worship ghosts, we'll become a ghost. If we worship ancestors, we'll go to the ancestors. And if we worship Krishna, then we'll go to Krishna. Who do we want to put our bets on? Just like sometimes we find that the people from India, they come and they put money in the box. Because they think, well, one of these people may be God. So, if they do turn out to be God, we want to make sure that we cover all bets. That way we can't lose. So wherever they go, whoever comes along, they give some money, hoping that, you know, if one of these people is God, then we'll hit the jackpot. We'll have the sweepstakes ticket that covered, you know, the God. And therefore, we'll put it in our dollar and quarter into the box. And one day, it'll turn out to be, you know, $10,000. We'll hit the jackpot. But Krishna advises pure devotion. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti priyachati taraham bhakti paritam ashnami priyatatmanaha that if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, some fruit or water, then Krishna will accept it. So bhakti, or love for Krishna, is the most important ingredient. The desire to please Krishna. So this is the essence. If one believes in Krishna, if one understands Krishna, then one will naturally, if he tries to serve Krishna and please Krishna, then Krishna becomes pleased. He's not a hard person to please. But that's the essence, is bhakti. But even if one doesn't have pure love for Krishna, then Krishna says, yat karoshi arashnasi yajjahosi didasi yat tat yat tapasi kunteya tat krushva manarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering to me. Therefore Krishna says, whatever you do, do something for me. If you have to eat something, then first offer it to me. You have to do some activity, we'll do it, the activities that I think are bona fide. You have to do, if you perform some austerity, then do that austerity for me. In this way, gradually you'll come to the platform of awareness, and therefore love from it. Shubha shubha shupala evam mokshase karavandanai sanyasi yoga yuktatma vimuktama upashisi. In this way, you'll be free from the bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and you will come to me. So by this non-attachment, no worries, offering everything to Krishna, then the result is that one will become purified and one will become Krishna conscious. Samaham sarabhuteshu name dveshtosti na priyaha ye vedanti tumam bhaktya maite teshu chapyaham. But I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to everyone. So this is for the general people, that Krishna is neutral as Paramatma in their heart. He doesn't envy anyone, nor is he partial to anyone. But for the devotees, he has a special reciprocation. Yeva janti tumam bhaktya, for those who worship Krishna with devotion, mayate teshu chapyaham. That such person is a friend to Krishna, is in Krishna, and Krishna is also in them. So loving reciprocation exists between Krishna and his devotee if the devotee serves Krishna out of love. And for an ordinary person who ignores Krishna, then Krishna is neutral to them. So the worst Krishna is neutral. We can't blame Krishna for being neutral. It's not that he's an enemy, that, you know. But he's always, at worst, he's just sitting there just like the judge. And Krishna says, Apichet sudarachara bhajante mamananyava sadoreva samantavya samyagyavyasiko hi saha. That even if one commits the most sinful activity, if he's engaged in devotional service, he should be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. So devotional service is so auspicious that if one renders service to Krishna, even if somehow or another one is not up to the standard, but still Krishna will accept the devotion. Shri Brahmavati Dharmatma Shasakshanti Nigashati Kondya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. Quickly he becomes righteous and attains everlasting peace. Declare boldly, O Son of Kunti, that my devotee never perishes. As one gradually develops devotional service to Krishna, and one day the devotional service matures, and one gets the full benefit of pure devotion. And anyone is eligible to render pure devotional service, does depend upon any kind of material qualification. So Krishna says, Mamhi Parthivya Pasritya Yepi Supapiyonaya Sriya Vaishishta Sudra Tepi Antiparam Gitim. That anyone, O Son Pritha, those who take shelter of me, though they be of lower births, women, Vaishyas, and Shudras, can attain the supreme destination. Kim punar brahmana punyas bhakta rajar shriyas tata anityam asukam lokam kim punar bhajasvamam imam prapya bhajasvamam. How much more so is that of the righteous Brahmins, the devotees, and the saintly kings, ever having come to this temporary miserable world, engaged in loving service to me. So everyone can take shelter of Krishna, that doesn't matter what our material position is, but especially those who are already devotees of Krishna, or those who are elevated in terms of the higher orders of the Vanashram system, that they'll certainly very quickly derive benefit from devotional service. Because of their advanced intelligence, they'll naturally understand how to render service to Krishna and make steady progress in devotional service. Therefore, Krishna sums up everything here in the there are a lakh of verses in the Vedas that are existing now. So that's 100,000 lakhs of verses. So is that 10 billion? But it must be, it's one with a lakh is 106 zeros. So 12 zeros. So, what's that? No. That's 10,000 million. So that's 10 billion. So there are 10 billion verses in the Vedas. If anyone likes to read, they can read the Vedas. And the essence of all the Vedas is the Bhagavad Gita. And the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita is the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And the essence of the ninth chapter is the next verse. So this is the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence of the Vedas. So it's a good verse to learn. Key verse. Manmana bhava madbhatyo majaji mam namaskuru mame vaichasi yuktaivam atmaram matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, engage your body in my service, and offer obeisances to me, or engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me, and worship me, being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So this is the essence of the essence of the essence of the Vedas. To always think of Krishna, to always become his devotee, offer obeisances, and worship Krishna. So this is the message of the ninth chapter, the most confidential knowledge. And of course the Bhagavad Gita is in 18 chapters, and this is the ninth chapter, the middle of Bhagavad Gita. This is right in the middle of the Bhagavad Gita, protected on all sides by many other verses. Pure devotion to Krishna. Any questions? Yes? Anyone want to support demigod worship?
This is almost repeated, isn't it?
Yes, it is repeated. Manmanava mabhakto majayuchi mam namaskuru mame vaishasi samte prati jani priyo sime. 1865. Yeah, only a few verses in Bhagavad Gita repeated twice. This is one of them. The same verse. It means the same thing. Anything else? Yes?
The Kama Mission Bhakti mixed devotional service in the Maja Majapari platform, is that only to become free from that mixed when we within the
madhyam,
or we have to go above that?
Well, different ways of understanding what madhyam is. But generally, mixed devotional service is in Kanisadhikari platform. Of course, pure devotional service, when one comes to an artha nivritti and nishta, then more or less, even if one does have some material contamination, he's not affected by it. The platform of Anishta. He's steady in his devotional service. It doesn't affect him, although it may be there. Therefore, he doesn't see everything so clearly. But he's determined, and he doesn't deviate from his devotional service.
So, being affected by that material contamination means thoughts that come into the mind that one doesn't contemplate them?
No, one is unattached to them.
Unattached to them.
Apuryamanam achala pratishtam samudram apa pravishanti yadvat yadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve sashantiyam atnoti nakama kame. One who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into an ocean which is always being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So the rivers may enter into the ocean, but because the ocean is full, it doesn't become disturbed. So similarly, one who is in Krishna consciousness, engaged in devotional service, although sometimes material desires may appear within his mind, he doesn't become disturbed by them. Anything else? Yes.
Is it possible for these higher beings in heavenly planets to go back to Krishna?
It's possible, but generally they don't. They have to come here first, because they're just having too good a time. Just like if you go to a place on this planet where people think they're having a good time, you ask them to, you know, chant Hare Krishna, they think that, you know, you must be crazy. When do I want to waste my time? Or you tell them you're having a big party and you go, well, today's a Kadasi, so you should all fast. Think of Krishna. Because in the heavenly planets there's so much enjoyment, it's hard to become serious there. They can't pick, you know, although they believe in Krishna, but they just can't really become so serious about going back to Godhead. Therefore, they have to come here, which there's enough misery that they become inspired to get out of the material world. But there's not so much misery that that's all they think about is their misery. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Kidai. Srila Prabhupada Kidai. Gaur Premanandaya.